Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley. All my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is having a great Sunday. Today is Sunday, May the 9th, and it is Mother's Day. So to all my beautiful and wonderful mothers out there, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you have done, all that you have continued and will continue to do as mothers. You know, being a mother is a hard job. You know, I didn't realize it when I was being raised as by a single mother that I was making her job hard. But now that I'm a father and watching, you know, my wife and everything that she does from a mother's perspective, yeah, I have a new perspective on all of that, a new outlook, as you would say. And so my eyes have been open to the challenges and the rewards of motherhood, just watching my family up close. And so to all the mothers, again, I just want to say thank you so much. And this is your day, the day that we recognize you for all that you do for us, all that you have been for us, because I know there are some praying mothers out there. I know there are some hardworking mothers out there. I know that there are some mothers out there that refuse to settle for less, that refuse to allow their children to be given less or treated lesser than anyone else. And to those mothers, again, I say, this is your day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, with that said, you guys, we're still in the pandemic too, so make sure you're socially distancing, make sure you're wearing your mask, just make sure you're taking care of yourself. We had some rough storms to go through earlier this week, and you know, I've been talking to you guys now for the past couple weeks that we are in severe weather season, so please make sure that you have, you know, your weather radio or have the app on your phone so that you can be alerted if anything happens. And I tell you guys, things are already beginning to heat up too for the 2022 election cycle. So I need you to be aware of where your polling places are. Know what elections are coming up. Right now, we have a special election going on in Columbus for school board. And so I think we have two candidates, Nikki Tillery and Bart Steed, that's running in the special election for the school board. So you may see some of those signs around town. But we want everybody to participate, not only in the special election, but we want you to also participate in the elections coming up in 2022. We the only way you can change what's going on is to go out and vote, and vote for change. You know, if things have remaining the same and you've been voting for the same person the entire time, then maybe you need to reconsider, you know, where you're casting your vote. Maybe it's time to see if someone else can do something a little bit different. It may be worth it for all of us. If we want to see the change, we have to be the people that starts that change. And speaking of change, things are heating up. We're getting some warm temperatures. You know, I'm seeing more people walking the dog and out at the park and out and about. I'm seeing more people on social media flexing muscles and things of that nature. You know, getting their weight up, as we would say back in the day. And so it's that time of year, and I see a lot of people working out, and I see a lot of people talking about working out. But, you know, one thing I'm absolutely convinced of, and I'm not an expert on on anything dealing with health or anything of that nature. I need to be in the gym right now versus on this radio show. But one thing that I do know is that working out and being outside in activities only can get you so much results. What you eat and how you eat is very important. And so with that in mind, to help all of my friends out there that showing out on social medias with their new bodies and the weight they done lost, I wanted to have on a very special guest today, an amazing young lady who's going to have a conversation with us about that very topic. So I'm excited to have today with me Miss Latrice Love. And Latrice is a dietitian. How are you doing today, Latrice?
I am doing well. How are you?
Latrice, I'm awesome. Latrice, are you a mother?
I'm not.
You're not. Do you have some kid nieces or nephews or cousins you have to take care of or buy stuff for Christmas?
I do. I have a goddaughter. I have a nephew. I have my friend's kids who are like mine as well.
Well, happy Mother's Day, Latrice.
Thank you.
I went through all that to tell you happy Mother's Day. How about that?
Well, they say say it takes a village. So I'm definitely a part of some villages, and I look forward to having my own kids one day.
It does take a village, and that's something we have known in our community for a very long time. You know, I know some people wanted to act like it was new when Hillary Clinton put it in a book, or the title of her book, you know, It Takes a Village, but we knew that a long time ago and had already been using that term. So, yeah, it does take a village. But so, Latrice, you are a dietitian. Tell us, what exactly is a dietitian?
Great question. I am a registered dietitian, and a lot of people don't know what a dietitian is. I actually just completed my education and passed my licensure exam to become a registered dietitian. A lot of people think, oh, a nutritionist. But a registered dietitian or a registered dietitian nutritionist maybe refers to RD or RDN. We're the medical nutrition therapy experts. So we are the people who, the healthcare professionals who know everything about nutrition due to evidence base. So in order to become a dietitian, I have completed a bachelor's degree in nutrition, and then I had to complete a minimum of 1,200 hours, and those clinical hours. So I was in a hospital for hours. I was in a dialysis clinic. I did hours in school nutrition, as well as my community rotation. And I actually work at the health department. And then after completing all of that, I sat for a very rigorous heart exam to become a registered and licensed dietitian. So we are your medical nutrition therapy experts, and everything that we learn is evidence-based.
Did you say you got a bachelor's in nutrition?
I have a bachelor's degree in nutrition and wellness.
I didn't even know that existed.
See, a lot of people don't know, and that's one of the things that I enjoy just my journey becoming a dietitian is to educate people on what a dietitian is, because they're like, what, that's a degree? I'm like, yeah. There are 90,000, I think, dietitians out there, and of those, they are 2.6% of color. So I'm a black woman who is a dietitian, so I'm so excited, and especially with these credentials being new for me, if I have the opportunity to share about nutrition, I definitely will.
Now, Latrice, I know that you're from Mobile. I know you represent I-10 down there, you know, in the little Bay Area, things of that nature. But where did you go to get this bachelor's in nutrition?
I went to Auburn University.
Auburn University, right down the road.
Yep, that's how I actually got here. And it's crazy how I even got into nutrition. I actually went to school to be an engineer. Like most college students, or when you're young, hey, I want to major in something that's going to make a lot of money. So I went thinking, okay, I like math, I like science, I want to be an engineer. Got to school, I hated it. And I remember, I think after my junior year, like I changed my major after my junior year, one of my friends was like, Trees, what do you like? And I was like, I like food, I like people. And like I talked to career, I did, you know, those quizzes, those tests to figure out what am I going to do with my life, and I found nutrition. And I was like, oh, wow. And from that, I'm able to, my purpose, to through nutrition.
Did you ever have any thoughts like, you know, hopefully this is not a degree where I'll get it and I can't do anything with it? Like, what kind of learning curve did you have to go through in pursuing this level of education?
I can't believe you just asked me that question, especially with it being Mother's Day. So one of the reasons I became a dietitian on this journey was because I lost my mother. I lost my mother when I was 8 years old, and one of the causes that contributed to her passing was she had vitamin deficiencies. And going through the classes, they were hard. I had to retake many of my classes after I finished in order to become eligible to complete the required hours, because it's very competitive. Typically, the classes who get in each year is about 10 to 12 people. We go through a match process. The application process is long, and then we have match dates to get in. Mm-hmm. So just all the classes that I retook, and just like the faith, just knowing why I'm doing this, like for my mom, if I can help someone else's mother, you know, be knowledgeable in nutrition so they can be here for their family. And I'm so excited to talk about this on Mother's Day, and to all the mothers that are listening, knowing like to take care of your bodies so you can be here for your family.
Wow, that's a That's a very compelling story, you know. And something you said there about, you know, going through the courses and things of that nature reminded me of when I was going through law school. And as I was learning the law, it would trigger events that either happened to me or my family in my past. And I was like, wow, if only we would have had access to an attorney, justice could have really been served. Were there times in which you thought, you know, if I would have known this, maybe I could have helped influence or helped make a difference?
Yes. I felt like you just read my personal statement. That was the line I wrote. I said, if my mother would have had access to a dietitian, and not saying the dietitian would, you know, she would still be here, but just knowing, hey, if she would have known that if you eat these foods, like she had a vitamin D deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched her take those supplements every day. And I thought, I wonder if she had a dietitian to tell her to eat more dairy, to eat more cheese or yogurt, or get more sunlight. Like, that's the best source of vitamin D that would have helped. So, yes, I think about that all the time.
And, you know, vitamin D deficiency was one of the main things that were causing a lot of people to really suffer or sometimes not even make it when it came to coronavirus. And it kind of surfaced to the top, like, you know, people started talking about it. I still don't think enough folks talked about it, but those that were close to it or had someone experiencing COVID-19, one of the things that didn't help is that a lot of people were vitamin D deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You just need some sunlight. That's one of the best sources of vitamin D.
So as a dietitian, you help people with their diets and you help them work on their diets. And I'm sure there's some fun aspects of it. Like, what advice would you give, like, someone, like, if they're like to go grocery shopping or something like that? How would you guide them on that?
With grocery shopping, especially what you just said with COVID, and we're still, you know, in this COVID world, is we depended so much on ordering food, like takeout. My first advice would be, let's go back to the grocery store. Let's go grocery shopping. That's the first step. Let's get in there. And then once you do start grocery shopping, take advantage of the outside of the store. So on the outside, that perimeter of the store, that's where you'll find your fresh fruits and vegetables. If you continue along the aisles, you'll get to your lean meats and then your dairy. And then limiting going down the aisles where you'll find, like, your chips and your candy. And I'm not saying you can't have any of that, because, of course, we should have the things we enjoy, but think about that perimeter store when you're grocery shopping so you can get more fresh fruits and vegetables.
Now, you know, I'm sitting here and I am just amazed right now, because I'm like, all the times that I have been to my local grocery store, you know, whether it was Publix or Piggly Wiggly, I never thought about along the perimeter, and what you mean by that is along the outer walls of the shopping area. You know, that's where you find, like, the fresh fruit and the meats and your dairy and breads and things of that nature a lot of times. And yeah, most of the canned things are right there down the aisle. Now why are canned goods so, I don't want to say why they're bad, but why are they less preferred?
So I'm not going to say they're less preferred. If when you're choosing your canned goods, you want to focus on making sure you're reading that label.
Okay.
If you're getting your green beans, get the green beans that say no added salt compared to the ones that have more salt in them. So that's what makes them, that bad make them seem bad is because of the salt that's in them. So you want to get the ones that have less salt. And that's the same thing for your canned fruit. And you'll see fruit that say it's in its natural juice or in water, or canned fruit that says added sugar. So they have that syrup. So you want to go for the option that has its natural juices or in water compared to the one with the added sugar, because we don't need all that added sugar.
Okay. So it sounds like to me, though, that there's room for compromise here. Right.
Yes.
I guess the word that I'm looking for is moderation, because, you know, all of the stuff that I like are you telling me to afford, you know, the Nutty Buddies and Honey Buns. I can't believe I'm saying this, but But everybody who know me, Latrice, they can look at Teddy Reese and tell he loves to eat. So that's not a problem. That's not a problem. But how does moderation work with this?
So moderation, if I sat here and told you, Teddy, you can't eat any more Nutty Buddies and any more Honey Buns, what's going to happen?
As soon as you turn your back.
Yep. You're going to go eat all the Honey Buns. So we don't want to tell ourselves we can't have anything, because that actually makes it worse. When you deprive yourself of it, you typically go binge. So, okay, if you tell me I can't have my Honey Buns, I'm probably going to eat the whole box. But when you're more mindful of, okay, if I eat the whole box, that's too much sugar, which can contribute to other things. But if I eat one Honey Bun, it's okay. So you have to find that balance with the foods that we enjoy. You don't want to eliminate them, because we have one body, one temple. We want to be able to take care of it, and we want to eat the foods that we enjoy, but just making sure we find a happy balance.
So if I buy a box of Honey Buns, right, and if I eat one of those Honey Buns, when should I eat the next one? Like the next week or 3, 4, 5 days? What kind of time separation are we talking about here?
I would say don't eat one every day.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Maybe the next day your snack could be an apple.
Okay.
Or some peanut butter.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're like me. I have a sweet tooth. Like cookies, Honey Buns, anything sweet.
Oh, you're
ice
speaking
cream.
My That's language. You're speaking my language. I mean, you know,
yes.
I have probably some of the ladies listening right now to the radio show, but I'm blessed to have some adopted grandmothers and aunties and some seasoned people in my life who still know how to cook caramel cakes. I mean, yes. Sheriff Greg Countryman, his wife, Miss Countryman, oh my gosh, she makes one of the best caramel cakes. It is delicious. Ooh. And so, you know, but that's something I'm getting to. That I said that for a reason, Greg, not just throwing your wife out there, even though it's a very good cake. But it's the fact that, like, when we're eating cakes and things of that nature and this fast food that you're talking about, it's not mm-hmm. as easy as looking at that label on that can. So how do we monitor or even know what we're getting with these fast food servings?
So with fast food, a lot of the restaurants now, if you look on the menu, it actually has the calories on there. So that kind of helps. So if you're going to, let's see, Chick-fil-A. So it'll tell you how many calories are in a meal. And just being aware, like if you see a higher number, if something says like 1,000 for one meal, you know, that's a little bit higher. But making substitutions. So instead of always getting the French fries, let's maybe this time get the fresh fruit cup, or switching out your soda for the water.
Okay, so let's talk. Okay, that was cute. But let's talk about my people who like to go to, you know, the wing spot. You know, I want a mild lemon pepper. I want a mild wing with lemon pepper sprinkles, you know, and some fries or some shrimp fried rice or something like that. I promise you that menu is. Well, you're the dietitian. We're talking about food. We're talking about food, right? So, you know, so you see those type things there. And I know, you know, if you ask the girl at the counter, how many calories in these lemon pepper wings, she probably gonna look at you like you're crazy. Like, is there a way that people can try to at least estimate what they may be taking in? Is that something you can share, or would that be too detailed to the meal?
It depends on the meal and where you are. But okay. I would say if you are at the wing spot, maybe instead of eating, you know, a 20-piece, maybe eat a 10-piece. So focusing more on the portion, your portion sizes. So a lot of times when we go out to eat, our plate is bigger than what we have. So one of the things I tell a lot of my clients is to do half. Eat half of that meal in that seating, especially if it's a large meal. Like, for example, last weekend I went to Hibachi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a lot of food.
Oh, they give you a lot of food.
Yeah, I was able to take some home, and that could be my next meal. So doing smaller portions when you're eating out.
And if you know you don't like leftovers, just get a kid-sized portion, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, see, I think I'm getting this. I think I'm getting this. Yeah, so let's
small changes.
let's jump to something else real quick. You know, okay. You know, a lot of our young people have been watching these versus battles, you know, on social media You know, you got these old cats going up against each other. I think Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight actually did one too, right? And Earth, Wind, and Fire and some other folks did one. So let a versus battle real quick with fried food versus baked food. You know,
okay.
Are there any positive things to fried food at all?
It tastes good, and you're able to have the things you enjoy. So that goes back to not cutting out or eliminating everything that you want. But of course, I would tell you on a day-to-day, doing more of the base. So you don't have as much of the saturated fat, which is a fancy word for the bad fat, or the oil or the salt that comes when you're frying your food. So when you're baking it, you don't have as much as that bad oil, and you can cut back on things with extra salt.
Is there any such thing as a good oil so we can still fry?
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about some good oils then.
Some good oils. So you have your olive oil.
Okay.
You want to do like pan searing. Your avocado oil.
Can you deep fry in any one of those? Because, you know, come Thanksgiving, we like to deep fry turkeys. And so, can you deep fry in those oils?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm not 100%, so I don't want to tell anybody to try it, but I'm not sure.
But olive oil.
Culture,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, with our culture, on Thanksgiving, we want our deep fried turkey.
Right.
And that's okay, because you're not eating a deep fried turkey every day, but trying to bake it, or if you do want to eat turkey in other times of the year, if you bake it or do like a pan sear with the olive oil or avocado oil.
Or you can do like me. You can put your turkey on your big green egg, and you can smoke it out there on the grill. Now, that was good. I was so proud of myself. Latrice, I was like, it went back to a 90s party with me. I was so excited about that. But I like your point. And you know what? You're actually, and please don't take this the wrong way, but you're not as bad as I thought you were going to be, because when you hear the word, when you hear the title dietitian, you be like, oh, here they come. You know, just like the IRS or tax season, like, you know, oh, here they come again. You know, right. You just like, there's nothing good going to come out of this conversation. But I am thoroughly impressed and educated and informed today on your acceptiveness to compromise or moderation, let's say moderation, with certain things, because you're not saying you have to totally take it away. What you're saying is we have to be wise about our levels of consumption.
Yes. Dietitians, we're not the food police. We're just here to help. And we want everyone to be healthier through the foods that they eat. And our job is to educate you. So you won't, you know, be with those diseases that could have been prevented just by making some small changes in your food that you eat.
Wow. So, you know, like we put people in Facebook jail, we're not putting you in refrigerator jail. We're not going to come padlock your cabinets at your house. You're not locked up. Won't let you out. No, that's not the situation. But I do like the you're actually putting this in perspectives to where I don't think a lot of people thought about. I know I wasn't certainly thinking about it that way, and the opportunity that exists to look at things from a moderation perspective. And Latrice, it seems like it may even be possible to think about this moderation on a daily basis. Let's say, like, if for lunch you have a salad, then for dinner maybe you eat something a little healthier. If you happen to go and have a heavy lunch, then for dinner maybe you need to try something a little lighter. Would that work for our bodies?
Yes. So our needs are different. Everybody's body is different.
Uh-huh.
Your needs are based off your height, your weight, your age, and your needs will be different from mine because you're a male and I'm a female. So what we need, everybody's needs look different. It's no one set way to eat. So yes, you could have a salad for lunch. You could have a salad for dinner. But if I want to eat a chicken salad, you know, with bread, and because, you know, you need your whole grains, you need a balance of all your food groups. So if you have your whole grain, your starch there, then that's good, because you want to make sure that you're having balance with your meal.
So is it healthy to do something like a no-carb diet then, where you totally cut out bread and starch and all that kind of stuff? Does that create a deficiency in your body balance?
So I knew that was going to be a question. So with carbs, a lot of people think, oh, I'm not eating any carbs. Carbs actually give you energy. So you need those carbohydrates. There are different types of carbs. Those are you have your simple carbs, you have your complex carbs. So what could be considered a good carb for someone is choosing like your whole wheat or your whole grain. And your fruits and vegetables are actually carbs compared to your honey bun, because that's a sugar, which is a carb. So, of course, you're going to do more of your good carbs, your fruits and vegetables, and your whole grains compared to eating those honey buns. Because if you're eating honey buns all day, you're not getting any nutrients. But if you're eating more of those good carbs, like your fruits and vegetables, you're getting those nutrients that your body needs.
So you can actually cut out bread and still get your carbs.
You can get carbs from different sources.
Okay.
I don't recommend eliminating any food group, any nutrient.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, you know, when I was in school, the food groups, speaking of food groups, when I was in school, they were quite simple. But I think they've kind of changed a little bit. Can you give us the updated version of the food groups?
So what were the food groups you learned in school?
See, now you want to do that. Now you're going to do me like that, Latrice. Okay. All right. We'll do this, Latrice. We'll do this. I know my listeners are having a good time with this today, because you are stumping me right now. But let's see here. Of course, you have your meats, right?
Okay. That's your protein.
Oh, yep. Proteins. Okay. And you have your vegetables.
Yep.
And you have the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we had dairy.
Yep. And one more.
And then we had bread.
Those are your grains.
Grains, yeah.
Yep. So those are your five food groups.
Are we still at five?
Your vegetables. Yep. Your grains, your protein, and your dairy.
Oh.
So that's what's considered now the My Place. So what you're thinking of years ago was the pyramid.
Yes.
When you looked at the pyramid, you saw more on there.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the thing that you saw more of was at the very top of the pyramid. And don't quote me. That's where your fats and oils and sweets were.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you looked at that pyramid, you knew the smaller thing at the top you would consume less of.
Right.
And when you go down the pyramid, that's what you have more servings of.
Right.
So now it's just a little bit simpler. It's a plate. So when you look at your plate should be half fruits and vegetables, a fourth of grains, a fourth of protein, and then a dairy.
So half of it fruits and vegetables. So 50% of it fruits and vegetables, a fourth of protein, and a fourth of what?
Your whole grain.
Your whole grain. And where's the dairy?
So that can be on the side.
Okay, so that's a couple of milk.
Or you can add it to your broccoli if you want to do cheese.
Okay.
Or if you want to have a cup of yogurt or a cup of milk.
Okay, so when we go out and get, these Sunday plates and we got, you know, that big piece of meat up there and two sides, the meat shouldn't be more than the fruits and vegetables, right?
Well, typically, when I go get a plate, I'll get my baked chicken and I'll get two veggies. So I think that's still a pretty balanced plate. And then, you know, you'll have a side of fruit. Later, you don't have to have every food group at every meal.
Uh-huh.
But you want to make sure you're having a balance.
Okay.
So the recommendation is, let's say, 2 to 3 servings of fruit a day. And I might not have any fruit with dinner, but I had a piece of fruit with my breakfast. I had a piece of fruit as my snack. And then I had a piece of fruit with my lunch. So I still got my fruit. I still got those vitamins and minerals I need for my fruit. I just might not have any fruit with dinner. But it's making sure you're finding balance throughout your day.
So when you go get that Sunday plate and you get the baked chicken and you have your two vegetables, leave the cake there. And for your dessert, you can just eat a fruit cup that doesn't have the added syrup.
Yep, that's the option.
See, I thought you was going to tell that's me I did good. I thought I was saying something then. You just like, yeah, that's an option.
A good option. I definitely That's a good one.
Okay.
I didn't expect to hear that. I thought you were going to be like, no, on Sunday I'm going to get that caramel cake from Mrs. Countryman.
See, I'm trying to help my people, because I know they listening. Yes. They probably laughing at me, but you know, I'm just saying, you know, put the cake down and maybe get you a fruit cup. But then I said without the syrup, so you need to buy the fruit cup that's in water or the natural juices.
Yeah,
that's right.
Listening.
I'm listening. Well, I tell you, Miss Latrice, this has been an amazing interview. I would have never thought that an interview with a dietitian would have been this exciting and fun. You are going to impact a lot of people because your approach to this is so awesome. Is so up to date. Is part of this generation. You know, you understand. You know the moderation aspect of it, and you're not telling people no, you're just telling them to think wisely about when they do. And so I think that's absolutely amazing. Anything you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
One thing we didn't talk about was water.
Okay.
This one is getting hot, more people are going outside, we're getting more active. So just try to make sure you are drinking some water.
And I'm sure that Miss Latrice is talking about straight up water. She's not. We know Kool-Aid made with water. We know anything liquid has a water base. No, you will not get enough water out of the package store. You know, so actually drink your water. But how much water do you think people should drink a day?
So our water needs are different, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Your body compared to my body, but a simple way to remember is half your body weight. So if I'm not 100 pounds. So let's say if I was 100 pounds, half of that would be 50 ounces.
Oh, okay. So I need to rent one of those water tank trucks to follow me around everywhere, and I just need to drink from the hose. That's what it sounds like.
You don't
like.
Want to drink too much water. So you definitely, because too much water, you don't want to flush out all your nutrients, but not from the water hose. But yeah, definitely get you a water bottle. And one of the easy ways that I make sure that I get my water through the day, but I love water bottles or something with a cute straw or something like that. I like my water cold with ice. So just making final ways to make sure you're getting in that water. So whether, like I say, you're getting a water bottle or if you get one of those motivation water bottles off Amazon where it says drink now, okay, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Water, or you can make your own. Like at one point, I had got me a gallon jug. I don't drink a gallon of water, but it was an easy way for me to see that reminder. And I wrote cute little quotes on there motivating me, like, hey, drink your water. So that definitely is to make sure that you're getting that water in.
Well, good stuff. Well, Ms. Latrice Love, thank you so much again for sharing your knowledge and your expertise as a registered dietitian. Congratulations on reaching that designation. We are so proud of you, and we are happy and honored to have you in our community. And if anyone want to follow up with you with any questions or have conversations with you, I guess they can call down to the health department.
So I do work for the WIC program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a young child under the age of 5 or pregnant, we definitely you can call there for those services. But if you wanted to talk to just me as a dietitian, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook, Nutrition by Love. And my email address is nutritionbylove@gmail.com. So that's the way if you wanted to get to me and talk to me as a dietitian. So I definitely would love to help anyone in the community. If you want to go do that grocery store tour, send me a message. I'll meet you at the grocery store and show you how to grocery shop. I'll read labels with you. I definitely want to help as many people in our community as possible.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Ms. Love, thank you again so much for your time, and thank you for joining us on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, okay?
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That has been Miss Latrice Love. You guys, that was an awesome conversation. I really enjoyed talking with her. She shared some amazing stuff, and that's what we're going to continue to try to provide for you here on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. You know, topics we may not think about, but we all need to hear every now and then. So happy Mother's Day again to all my mothers out there, and we hope to have you with us next Sunday on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.